Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Front and Nationwide, The Athletic's dedicated podcast to the Columbus Blue Jackets. My name is Tom Reed, who will serve as today's host, filling in for the vacationing Aaron Portsline. I am joined by Allison Lucan, and Aaron, I would think right now, might be like walking through the Hemingway house, mingling among the six-toed cats in Key West, Florida. Allison, you've been there. It's a great place to go, the Keys. Very underrated place, I think.
Well, one of my very favorite places in the world, actually. I've been going there ever since I was a baby. So hopefully he comes back. It's always hard for me to come back. And I've been there a lot.
Yes. Now, Allison, obviously, fans, we've hopefully built up a little bit of following on our podcast, but there's going to be a few changes. Let's get some business out of the way right away. Explain to our listeners where people can find it, and I don't believe it's no longer going to be right on our page where you can read all of our Blue Jackets stories.
That's right. So we will be there's no change in where you can find the podcast outside of those posts we used to make, but just wanted to make you aware to check those regularly. We post our show on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. So hopefully we've covered a lot of the bases there. And when we tweet out the show twice a week, we will always include all three of those links. And if there's another platform you'd like us to try and get the show on, let us know. But hopefully one of those three will suit all of our listeners' needs, and you'll hopefully continue to enjoy the rich content we're putting out.
Well, one thing I think Blue Jackets fans enjoyed, and probably with a sigh of relief, was last night's 4-3 overtime win over the Flyers. The win kind of vaulted them back into the playoff picture. The very tightly compacted race right now, 1 point clear of Carolina and Pittsburgh. Seth Jones with the game-winning goal in overtime, his seventh career overtime winner for the Blue Jackets, setting a new franchise record. Artemi Panarin with an absolutely incredible last shift of the game, a minute and 24 seconds to set up the goal. And what an important win on a night where it looked like the Blue Jackets had the game in hand over the second half of the game and gave up a late goal. And wow, if they would have not got 2 points out of that game or even a point, I think there would be some very sweaty palms in Blue Jacket land today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, it's academically, it's easy to understand that with three new skaters in the lineup, that's going to take some time to gel. Add in that Ryan Murray, arguably one of the best defensemen this season, is out, that there's going to take some time to put all the pieces together. But there's not a lot of time. And so I think it felt a little scary for the Jackets to lose the first game after all those really talented additions. And this settles that ship. And I think it also gives the guys in the room just that little extra bit of confidence, right? To say, yep, see, we're putting it together. Here we go. We can do this. Let's go.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the game that Allison referenced was a disappointing first post-trade deadline game, loss to the Penguins, 5-2, I believe. And more disappointing and more, I think, alarming is, I believe that's 7 in a row to the Penguins.
Yes.
And we're going to get to the Penguins topic a little bit. So, yes, probably calm some jangled nerves. And it is a big ask to add 4 players at the deadline. That's a lot of players. You think back last year, that was a very smooth transition for the 3 players they added. That's not, you know, those guys came in last year. Help me. It was Ian Cole, Mark Letestu, and Thomas Vanek.
Yep.
The count. Oh, I missed the count. And I mean, they were in there a week and it looked like they had been there all season. They just fit in from a chemistry standpoint on the ice, a locker room standpoint. The guys really embraced them. And sometimes that's not easy to do. We'll see how this experiment goes. And one of the things when you bring in a lot of players, Allison, as you know, you've got to find room for them and you got to find who fits best with whom. My English teacher may kill me if that's wrong and maybe who. But, you know, we're already seeing that. We saw that over the last couple games. What John Tortorella did with his lines, they originally kind of came out with Matt Duchene on the top line with Artemi Panarin and Cam Atkinson, and that stayed true for a couple games. Now we have Duchene with Dzingel on the third line, and then the defensive pairings, which we'll get to in a minute, were blown all to hell last night. And you know, what is your level of comfort in finding these guys getting that figured out and getting that sorted as we head down an important stretch?
Yeah, the forward side is a little easier, quote unquote, in that you have some options. But I am curious to see, and we'll see if John Tortorella might speak on this today, is will he ever try Duchene up on that top line again? You know, I think they were very dynamic in their first 2 games together. So I don't know if you give it one more look just to see because of what you have in those players. But, you know, again, at this point, I don't know that you have a 1-2-3 line. I think you have 3 lines and you have a really well-functioning 4th line right now. It's just that those 3 lines each kind of have a different role. So I don't know that I'm worried about the quote unquote hierarchy of that. There's just 3 mm-hmm. lines that play really well. On the defensive side, it's a little more curious. because you can really, and we've talked about this forever, you know, Jones and Werenski were such a powerhouse the last 2 years. This year they've seen some time together, seen some time apart, but we know that can be such a strong pairing. Murray is out, who's been Jones's other primary partner this year. Then you look at Marcus Nudavara, who's another puck mover, another young guy, you know, some bumps this season. then you've got your kind of solid David Savard and your solid Scott Harrington. Well, you bring in an Adam McQuaid. I say all of this to bring it to Adam McQuaid, which is, this is a guy who knows what he is. He's a stay-at-home guy. He's a physical guy. He is a guy that's going to do a pretty good job of keeping opponents from entering the zone. And that's valuable. But the problem is, you need the other side of that coin. Once you stop an opponent, you've got to get the puck going the other way. And that's not his strength. So you've got to match him, and Tortorella has said this, you've got to match him with an offensive guy. So now you're looking at a Nudavara, a Jones, a Werenski. And we saw him first with Harrington. We saw him go with Nudavara a little bit more last night, but that impacts the other pairs. I think they're going to keep tinkering and just really hoping that Ryan Murray comes back, not just for the pairings, but just because of his talent. I mean,
we've keep mentioning it on the show, but I don't think we've really delved into, I mean, what a great season Murray's been having. And there is no timeline right now for when Ryan Murray is going to return from his upper body injury. And that is a big loss. I mean, Ryan Murray's always, if there has been a knock on Ryan Murray's career, it has been just it being injury prone. Because when he's on the ice, he's a good player. And this year was really the first really extended stretch since a few years ago, when I think he did play all 82 games a couple years ago.
Yep.
But you always kind of hold your breath a little bit with him because, again, when he's playing, he's very valuable. He is one of those modern defensemen that plays the game. He's not overly physical, but he can get the job done. He moves the puck. He thinks the game very well. And, you know, we've got about 18 games left here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And they're fighting for their lives for a playoff spot. I don't know when we're going to see him. And it does create some situations for Bradshaw, who changes the defensive pairings, and John Tortorella some tough decisions to make. Last night, he ended up moving Scott Harrington, who we normally think of as a third pair defenseman, up to play with Seth Jones.
Right.
I mean, with the game on the line, with the Blue Jackets down a goal after the first period, they just put the defenseman in the blunder and switched all three pairings. And it worked. They got by last night. I thought Harrington played a very good game, ended up scoring a goal, but more importantly, was able to handle the 18-plus minutes that he played with Seth Jones and did a pretty good, decent job. But he's going to have to do that, and this group's going to have to do that for however long Ryan Murray's out. What is your level of concern of them getting this right to kind of get them where they need to go to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know if it's concern. I have more of a curiosity right now, and Torts is somewhere inherently reflexively just going, stop coaching. He knows someone's trying to mess with what he wants to do. But I don't know if concern is the word. I think more curiosity. You know, Dean Kukan had some good minutes last season playing with David Savard, and I'm curious to see if the
coaches... Stop coaching, Allison. Stop coaching.
Somewhere John Tortorella reflexively. but, you know, I'm curious to see if they don't see what he might bring back in the mix in terms of, again, that puck movement. I do think this group can patchwork together the balance of the regular season if they need to, but I think it's going to be a little bit more nail biting. I think last night's game showed us that, right? There were those odd man rushes snuck back into the game against. There was a little bit more scrambly play close in front of the net. These were things that the Jackets had kind of tamped down, and now they're showing up again. But I think they can get through the regular season, like I said, but as we've talked about, you need more defensemen, period, for the postseason. And you definitely need a Ryan Murray for the postseason. He's just, you mentioned it, but he's just so good. And I without him, I think that's where, to your point, concern would start to come into my conversation.
Yeah. And it is to continue on that word that they just don't, you know, it started out, I think it always starts out day to day. And then I think Torch was on his radio show, said, used the word a while.
Yeah.
And now that a while seems to be really stretched out. We have not seen Ryan Murray there's days I was out of town for a couple days. But I have not seen Ryan Murray. He certainly hasn't been skating. And you do, there is some just what they're going to do with his defensive pairings, because that's again, it's a big loss. And they are about to begin a 10-game stretch here.
Oh.
And we're just talking about how you know, this season is right on a knife's edge with their playoff positioning, and it's very close in the Metro Division. But you know, any bad stretch right now, you know, lose three in a row, and you could be in trouble depending on what those other teams do. This is a topic that if I introduced in a press conference, John Tortorella's head would literally explode, because he only wants to talk about the next game. But we on Front Nationwide, we can throw this out to our listeners. Tomorrow begins a 10-game stretch, and I will just go over the games. Edmonton, Winnipeg, those two games at home, back-to-back on the weekend. At New Jersey, home and home against Pittsburgh, at the Islanders, at Boston, against Carolina, at Boston, and then they begin a West Coast swing at Calgary, who may be the hottest team, maybe one of the best, maybe the best team in the West, sneaky best team in the West. Allison, two against Pittsburgh, two against Boston, the Islanders in there, Winnipeg coming to town. This team better get it together pretty quickly. And again, they won last night, and they've been playing fairly well. But as far as gelling with these new guys, this is a huge stretch of games with very few games remaining after that.
Oh, so important. And I mean, even the teams that are quote unquote out of it. I mean, at Carolina, first of all, those games are never easy for the Jackets ever.
Yeah.
and they're fighting. They're pushing. Right.
They Carolina's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there.
Now,
when you, go ahead.
No.
I mean, you look at the schedule and I see two games early on here in this stretch that, like, you got to win. You got to beat Edmonton. You got to beat Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl right away. And then you've got to win that game in New Jersey. Those are the two where you think, okay, they should win those games. The rest of those eight games, whew, those are some tough tasks in there.
Well, and let's take it even one step further, is that there are 1, 2, 3 back-to-backs in that stretch as well. So it's not just the level of competition, it's the demands of the schedule, right? So that's another degree of difficulty, if you will. But, you know, at the same time, if this is the team that they think they are, that management thinks they are, they can make it through. Now, they're not going to win every game here, obviously.
No.
The somewhat blessing is that they are playing against Pittsburgh. That's a team that, you know, it's what we've seen this week. Whoever wins goes up, whoever wins goes down, right? So it's everyone's kind of clumped together. It's the only team that really can create huge separation, at least right now, is the Islanders. And I will say, as I was looking, and this is certainly not to be a cushion because it's not super big, but it does exist, is that the Jackets do have a game in hand on a lot of their Eastern competition here. And they also, which this is not typically a thing we see with the Jackets, they have right now, let's see, they have two regulation or overtime wins over the Islanders, 3 over the Capitals, 4 over Montreal, 3 over Carolina, and 4 over Pittsburgh. So if we do get to a situation where we're looking at points ties, you know, Rowe is the next deal breaker there. And as long as the Jackets, to your point, don't just go on some really bad bender of losses, having those shored up, and again, this is a team that hasn't historically done that, having those shored up as well could be really important down the stretch.
Yeah. And I mentioned this to Sergei Bobrovsky after the game the other night, and after the loss against Pittsburgh. And I think it's important. He shot it down, and maybe you disagree as well. They've got to find a way to beat Pittsburgh down the stretch, not only because they could end up playing them in one of the first two rounds if they get in. But I don't know. Again, you can't almost afford to lose two or three games in a row right now. And those are two massive games coming up next week with the Penguins.
Totally agree. And this is, you know, this is where the flip side of adding so many new guys to the room could potentially help. I mean, this is what we saw. Remember way back in the day, Nashville was the nemesis of Columbus, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Columbus could not beat Nashville to save their lives. And it wasn't until there was kind of a bigger overhaul of players. And I'll never forget, James Wisniewski had the first, it was an overtime game winner. And afterwards he was like, we're supposed to be afraid of Nashville. I don't get it. So Could there be enough of a change that starts to shake these guys loose of any sort of, oh, it's Pittsburgh? Because it definitely seems to be a thing. No matter which way you cut it, it definitely seems to be a thing.
Yeah, you lose seven in a row. It's certainly, you know, there's going to be people that say, you know, are these guys living, you know, have the Penguins gotten into their head? Now,
exactly.
Obviously, the Blue Jackets don't want to hear that. The coaching staff doesn't want to hear that. But when you lose seven in a row, that's more than just a bit of a trend. That's something that you've got to face. And again, you're going to have to face it at a critical juncture in this schedule coming down the stretch. I think I counted up, my public school education isn't great, but I think after the stretch that we're talking about, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, well, just 9 games remaining after that 10 game stretch. So they've got to be able to keep it above water here and win some games. So they're at least still in the playoff race. And of course it would be great for them and their fans if they could snap off a little bit of a winning streak and maybe start pushing up against Washington and by extension by the Islanders. So they, as Torts likes to say, you got to keep looking up. Don't be looking back.
I think, you know, the key thing here too is, and I would like to believe that the guys in the room know this, is, you know, before a couple years ago when we talked about Columbus and Pittsburgh, you always gave an edge to Pittsburgh. Oh, they have a little more talent. Oh, they're so skilled.
Yeah.
Well, these rosters stack up pretty well against each other now. You know, there is no Sidney Crosby, of course, but there is an Artemi Panarin in Columbus.
Yeah.
There is a Matt Duchene. So, you know, this group can go toe-to-toe with that team, in my opinion, on paper.
Yeah.
It's about just finishing the job.
Yeah, and with Artemi Panarin, again, I think we both agree, and a lot of people really understand that this is it. This is going to be the stretch run in whatever playoffs there are. But what a treat this guy has been to watch.
Mm.
And you were reminded of that again last night. And it's last night's game to me. We're getting just a bit off topic here, but just an appreciation for, you know, the guy scores a goal. And again, just absolutely crazy. Sets up the winner on a shift where he played a minute and 24 seconds. I'm sitting there in the press box next to you, and I'm thinking, you've got to get off the ice. you don't look like you have anything left. And I'm paraphrasing here, but Seth Jones was like saying after the game, just Seth Jones, who also played a lot in overtime, but was saying, I don't get it. He doesn't seem to sweat. It doesn't make sense. I don't know what they did to him over there in Russia, but whatever they did is amazing. Just your appreciation for what this guy brings and what this guy's going to have to bring down in this stretch run.
Yeah, you know, and we talk so much about that overtime play, and it was so impressive. But in watching back some of the game last night, you know what is almost more incredulous to me is his goal. That he didn't look like he even tried on that thing. You know, he literally just kind of skated up and just – it didn't even look like – I mean, we've seen these wonderful dynamic shots that these guys can take, and they're impressive, and they, you know, fly top shelf or, you know, whatever it is. But he just kind of walked up and just kind of tipped it in, looked so effortless. And, you know, that's what stands out to me about him, is nothing looks hard. Nothing looks hard. And then when you do what people like you and I do after the fact, and we look at how much time was he out there? Who was he playing with? What did he do? How, like, you know, across the board last night, if we look at underlying stats, who had the best shot share? Who had the most scoring chances? Artemi Panarin. And more nights than not, that's the case. And it's just, he really is a special player. And I would encourage, I think we are, and I would encourage others, I mean, take this in, because to see a guy like this 82 plus games a year is not something every fan or observer gets to do with their team.
Yes, I could not agree more. You know, another player who is under contract after this year and who has, I thought one of the guys to me who stood out in the last couple of weeks, and I've not always been a huge fan of his game. I like the player, is Oliver Bjorkstrand. And my issue with Oliver isn't that he doesn't, he hustles, he plays hard, but for me as with a basketball background, he always reminds me of the 3-point shooter who cannot create his own shot. Mm. In other words, someone has to give him space to get off that wonderful shot. And it doesn't always happen. And especially in big games where there's a lot of tight checking, but my goodness, Oliver Bjorkstrand in this recent stretch, I think has been a really good player for the Blue Jackets. Scored again last night, has 3 goals in 4 games. And now, Allison, we know that he's pretty assured that he is either going to be playing with either Matt Duchene or with Pierre-Luc Dubois. Both of them are quality centers, and he's going to have a pretty good line. Right now he's playing with Ryan Dzingel and, again, Duchene. And his game has really, to me, elevated. What have you seen with our young Danish winger?
I'm impressed you got through all that without one maestro mention, Tom.
Oh, see, you brought him up. So, yeah, you don't even like the nickname. I love the nickname.
I don't like the nickname.
I love the nickname. I don't want to hear Bjorky and Nasher, and just give me something good. Thank you, Bob Strum. Thank you, Bob Strum, for giving us a good nickname in the sports world.
No, I agree with you. And I think, you know, what you said is exactly the key, is who he's playing with.
Yeah.
And I mean, my gosh, look at what is on the other 2/3 of that line. It's Dzingel, and right now it's Dzingel and Duchene. And, you know, I heard some people comment after last night's game how much the Flyers were targeting those two, rightly so.
Yeah.
And to your point, that's what gives a player like Bjorkstrand space. And that's all he needs. That shot is so lethal.
Yep.
That's all he needs. And, you know, that is what, you know, again, I'm curious to see what Torts does moving Duchene at all, if never. But even if Dubois goes there, I mean, this league knows Pierre-Luc Dubois now as well. They're not going to overlook him either.
Right.
So Bjorky is going to get a little more space. And he also, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that his confidence is rising. Even when you talk to him in the room, he definitely puts out a more comfortable vibe, a more confident vibe. And that all plays into this too. He had, I think, the second most shots last night. Shot attempts, and what was significant about that to me is not one was a miss and not one was a block. They were all on target. Jacket skater did that. That's impressive.
Yeah, we've always, since he's gotten here a few years ago, I think that has always been the thing everyone has kind of agreed on. Boy, when this guy gets time to shoot the puck, it's usually on net, and it's a very, I don't know what it happened to, why it's so deceptive. But it is deceptive. And, you know, this is, we talk about this in crucial stretch drive here. If you can keep Oliver Bjorkstrand playing the way he is, that is a major plus in that column, because I think he's doing well. But let's wind it back kind of to the beginning. Obviously, we're talking all about the post-trade deadline. I thought our readers, our listeners, I hope you read Allison's terrific analytical deep dive into the 4 players that were acquired at the deadline, and not just written word, but video for the charts that only Allison can do. Really comprehensive look at the underlying importance and what these guys bring to the team. Allison, for those who haven't read it, or for those who read it and maybe were looking for even a little deeper understanding, give us a little rundown, really, what these guys bring to the Blue Jackets.
It was fun to do. I think I got over 2,000 words by the time it was done, so I apologize for the length. But starting with Matt Duchene, you keep hearing he's a special player. So we sought out to kind of say, what does that mean? He is tremendous on transition. We've seen that a couple times already. We've seen his passing. He immediately becomes the second best passer in terms of setting up shots only to Artemi Panarin on this team, just by joining the team. Wow. And we saw that on the goal, on Scott Harrington's goal last night. We've seen some of that chemistry with Zingle for sure. And there's, if you read nothing else in the article, I encourage you to watch the goal highlight that's in there against the Islanders, because it's ridiculous. Right. so this is a guy who can score too, not a playmaker, but also a scorer. And because, you know, a center isn't necessarily, you know, kind of a one-trick guy, you could say, boy, he's really great in this. I turned to the gentlemen who are behind the website Evolving Hockey, and I said, how good is he? They have some measures to look at goals above replacement and wins above replacement, meaning the value a player can bring to a team. Matt Duchene comes to Columbus as the seventh highest wins above replacement in the league, and by joining the team, he becomes the highest in terms of wins above replacement and goals above replacement. Even Artemi Panarin is behind this guy. Yeah. So he is a special player. Zingle, definitely more of an offensive threat. Scoring, speed, these are things we've heard. But just, again, really creative. And I talked with Kenny McCudden about him, who just loves not just what the player does, but how he does it. The work ethic is incredible. This is a guy who's on the ice before practice, skates hard in practice, and stays out after. And Kenny's point was, he doesn't just do that work. He does it at game speed. And that's incredible to see players putting in that kind of energy in a practice at this time of the year. So definitely ups that offensive side. McQuaid, we talked about, I kind of highlighted where his strengths and what's going to make him work on this roster. And then finally, we have Keith Kincaid in net. It's going to be interesting to see if he can get some time. I know he's curious about that, curious to see how he can get in. But I spoke with our colleague, Kat Silverman, who's a goalie expert. And one of the things I thought she said that was great that I want to make sure our readers know is he plays a little bit more of a style that, as you watch, might make you nervous. But he's also, what Kat said that I found intriguing is, this is a guy who's really good at, if he gets away from his game, reflecting and trying to bring it back to center. He's had a rough go here of late in New Jersey, but he's also had double the workload in New Jersey. So it's possible that if he comes back down to like what would equate to about 1,000 minutes a season versus the 2,000 plus he's been playing, that might allow his talent to become concentrated a little bit more.
All right. Interesting stuff. And again, I would encourage our listeners who haven't had a chance to read it, to go back and read the story. Allison, this is an incredibly, incredibly busy weekend. Well, first of all, we have the big Arnold Festival. I hope you've been lifting. I hope you've been in the gym. I know you're always in the gym. Get yourself ready. Get your Z-Bart or your spray tan. Go down to the Z-Bart and get your spray tan on. Get ready to strut around the Arena District and the Short North. And then we've got, as we've mentioned, we have two big Blue Jackets games in town. Edmonton tomorrow afternoon, which, by the way, being a hockey writer, I just found out yesterday it was an afternoon game, but such is life. And then Winnipeg with Jack Roslovic, Columbus's own Jack Roslovic, comes in on Sunday. And then Ohio State, I believe, Allison, both Ohio State teams in action. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there's some really special Ohio State hockey going on. The women, for the first time, are hosting a round in their conference play, the WCHA. There are three games scheduled. The team has to win two of the three to advance. And this is critical. They have not been faring as well as maybe they should in the polls, given they just had shootout wins over the number one team last weekend and didn't move up a spot. So winning this weekend not only helps them in conference play, but can help them make sure they return to that NCAA tournament. So it's going to be good hockey. It's going to be important hockey. The men have, for the first time in program history, locked down the regular season Big Ten title. So they'll be good to go. They have a bye for the first week of their conference tournament, but they are home this weekend for their last regular season games against Michigan State Friday and Saturday. with senior night happening Saturday. So again, which you can check out one or both of those games because they happen after the Blue Jackets game on Saturday. So if you have the time, if you have the energy, check those out, or there is information to watch both games online if you just want to sit home but still take in some good play.
Yeah, and right before we go, we will, of course, Aaron Portstein will be back, assuming he, as Allison said, he wants to come back. Yeah, he'll be back, I believe, on Monday, getting us set up, and he certainly will be back Tuesday on our podcast. And again, Allison, for listeners that may have forgotten already 30 minutes ago, how you can just the little changes that are being made with our podcast, give our listeners where you can find us.
Yep. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. We'll have links out to where the podcast is. We're on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. Hopefully one of those suits you and you can subscribe there. And like I said, if there's an additional service you want us to try to get added to, let us know that as well. But watch for the tweets and follow the links there to keep listening.
All right. For Allison Lucan, I am Tom Reed. This has been Front and Nationwide, and we will see you back on Tuesday. Enjoy your hockey weekend.